ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Labor Department this morning reporting 303,000 jobs were created in March. That's for more than the 200,000 economists were expecting, casting more doubt on whether the Fed will lower interest rates anytime within the foreseeable future. Nearly 6 months into the war in the Middle East, the Biden administration is dramatically shifting its tone in a call with Prime Minister Netanyahu.
The president demanding Israel dramatically increase humanitarian assistance, open additional crossings, and reduce violence against civilians and aid workers. Biden also calling for an immediate ceasefire.
ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. Today, President Biden visiting the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse and meeting with relatives of the six workers that were killed. A powerful nor'easter has left hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses without power in New England. In New Hampshire, a woman was killed when her home's propane tank exploded after a tree fell on it. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Paid parental leave is coming to the universities of Wisconsin. Full-time employees can get up to 6 weeks off after a child is born or adopted. The Board of Regents reviewed the new policy yesterday. It takes effect July 1st. System President Jay Rothman says it'll keep Wisconsin competitive with other schools. April is Autism Month. More kids in the U.S. are being diagnosed, and plenty of adults, too. Katie Hess is with the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin. She says she's encouraged by increasing public awareness.
We're learning new information all the time. So certainly reach out to your local chapter, your Autism Society, ask questions.
The Autism Society in Wisconsin is training businesses on how to better serve employees and clients with autism. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Salvation Army has announced a new fundraising event scheduled in May. According to a Fox 21 report, the Black and White Ball will replace the organization's usual civic luncheon, which is held in November. Officials say they wanted to change things up and make the fundraiser a little more fun, giving residents a chance to dress up and interact with other potential sponsors. The Black and White Ball is scheduled for May 16th during Salvation Army Week, and the organization is still looking for more sponsors. The Superior City Council voted against holding a public hearing on the Nemadji Trail Energy Center project on Wednesday. Minnesota Power, the company behind the Energy Center project, has made a number of requests of the Planning Commission, including to reopen the city's comprehensive plan. The denials triggered a resolution for the City Council to hold a public meeting, but the motion was denied by the council. Superior residents have expressed strong opinions both for and against the Energy Center project. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingas.
Winged Thingas!
That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingas.
The Winged Thingas.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Baseball tonight at AmFam Field. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers hosting the Seattle Mariners. Reese Hoskins is off to a good start at first base and at the plate.
Replay overturned it.
Now Hoskins flirting with the pole. It's gone. Reese Hoskins makes it 2-0.
Jeff Levering, Bally Sports Wisconsin, Brewers general manager Matt Arnold.
Look, we're trying to win as many games as we can here this year and in the long run, you know, and so that's a tricky thing for us to balance when we're able to add veterans here with the type of track record that Reese has. That's really exciting. You know, he fits so well.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Raptors tonight at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee has lost four of their last five games.
There's at times that we play really well. There's at times that we don't. But at the end of the day, again, we had open shots like AJ had one, Malik had one, BP had one. Like, we had open shots. Pat, I think, had one. I had two. You know, you gotta make shots.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy and a little warmer today. We'll get to 51 for a high this afternoon. The wind northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 28. Tomorrow, sunshine, 54. It'll get windy tomorrow night with rain likely on Sunday, Sunday night into Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 32.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Tune in Friday for a very special Devil's Advocates radio show. Pat Kreitlow joins the show. We air the grievances and give you the details of Joe Biden's visit to Madison.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
So this was Prince reflecting the apocalyptic view, right? Party night like it's 1999, because by 2000, it'll all be gone.
Sandy, when you said, I've got Prince, 2000, party's over, it's out of time, on your list of songs.
Yeah.
I'm like, Sandy knew about Prince in 1999?
Oh, yeah.
It was a great record.
Oh, yeah. I had lots of Prince stuff playing loudly in my car.
hey, Calvin, could you see Sandy, you know, kind of grooving to Prince?
You know, he's a pretty hip guy. Yeah, I can picture it.
Sandy, me and the red Corvette, did you have a?
I had them all.
Oh, okay. So you had the red Corvette.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy and Prince.
He's a little man. He was.
Let's get to a serious subject, Sandy, and this is a serious issue. We've been talking about a war that's been going on now, how long? 6 months?
Yeah.
Has it been 6 months?
It has, yeah.
And Biden warns Netanyahu, today's Washington Post, the situation in Gaza is unacceptable. Now, I want to ask you, the president said U.S. policy will change if Israel does not immediately take specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address the disaster. Now, Sandy, President Biden would be considered a war hawk. He's from that era, from that time, and he has supported Israel in this thing from the onset. He clearly has been kind of, you know, forced into having to respond in this manner. There was no question that President Biden has always supported the United States' position that we're with Israel all the way. We're going to support Israel 100%. Doesn't matter. We're connected to Israel. And so it took a lot for him to have to make the statement that he made, Sandy, because president after president after president, United States president, has supported Israel unequivocally.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that this is what has worried me on behalf of Israel, because it isn't just American public opinion that has come to waver. It's the world's public opinion, and a country like Israel needs to rely on the goodwill of the world to some extent. And, you know, in the past, it has been basically a race by the Democrats and Republicans to see who could be regarded as the staunchest supporter of Israel. And so to break from that now suggests that there is now a domestic political problem associated with Israel's conduct of the war that is consequential. And, Donald Trump seems to have the reaction. He says, basically says, let's get it over with, get it done, get the war done. Now, what does that mean? The context of Donald Trump's expression sounds like basically, finish the job, go in and get Gaza done immediately. I'm surprised that he thinks the political tea leaves are reflective of that, but I suppose there is an effort on the part of the Republicans to drive a wedge between the Jewish vote and the Democrats, which have always basically been aligned in the past. So we're seeing domestic politics at play, but what's going on in Gaza is a serious problem, and it's a serious problem for Israel because, number one, I don't think that a military conquest of Hamas is altogether possible, number one. And number two, the effort to accomplish it is backing Israel into a bit of a corner in the world with respect to public opinion. So I worry about this. And I know that yesterday, Benny Gantz in Israel called for an election. He was a supporter of Netanyahu and now is one who wants to run against him. But it looks like it's going to be very hard to work the Israeli politics into having an early election.
So, Sandy, the world is saying it looks for all the world as if Israel now wants to completely take over Gaza and force the Palestinians completely out. And that at the root of this is not just what happened with the horrible event that took place, but the fact that now this has morphed into let's get the Palestinians completely out of Gaza and let's claim all of this for ourselves. And so the world is seeing it from that perspective, Sandy. And so Joe Biden said this: in the coming hours and days, we will be looking for John Kirby. In the coming hours and days, we will be looking for concrete, tangible steps that they're taking, said White House spokesman John Kirby. The phone call between the two leaders came 3 days after seven workers from Jose Andres' Run World Central Kitchen were killed by Israeli strike to a clearly marked convoy, igniting outrage in the United States and abroad. The president held the call with Netanyahu specifically because of the deadly strike. Now, he had been in contact with Netanyahu over the last couple of weeks, Andy, President Biden.
Yeah.
And he had said to Benjamin Netanyahu a few times that you need to be more concerned about the safety of the citizens. And so he didn't come with an edict at that point in time, Sandy. Why now?
Well, I mean, I guess when push finally comes to shove, I think that the world is worried that maybe the outcome, a couple of our callers have called in who are very pro-Israel, have talked about how the solution ought to be the rest of the Mid-Eastern countries opening their arms to the Palestinians and taking them away from Gaza, basically get rid of the problem by getting rid of the Palestinians. I think the world is worried that that might be the plan, okay? And that plan, that kind of a partition, I think, is not very acceptable.
So the two-state solution is still what America believes, regardless of what Netanyahu says. And this was echoed again by the president's position. They support the two-state solution. And so they're not going to deviate from that. It doesn't matter that Netanyahu and others may think that that's not going to be the solution, but the United States is not backing down from that.
I don't think so, and I think basically the world thinks that the two-state solution is the expected outcome. It has been since the Camp David Accords, always been the expectation that would be the direction that it would go. And so, you know, this is a troublesome time period. Israel did apparently take immediate steps because they did open the northern gate to North Gaza, which is the area where the aid is really apparently needed, the food aid, and so that step was taken. Apparently hot on the heels of this conversation.
But that's not, you know, going to be sufficient based on what President Biden is saying. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Your thoughts? Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hi. My thoughts are Hamas said that they're never going to stop. They will have October 7th over and over and over again. Israel has to have the balls and the guts to follow through and stop these people once and for all. And it's, you know,
the innocent people, Gary.
I don't like that innocent people die. Look in Vietnam. We lost that war in Vietnam because we did not know how to fight. And we weren't willing to go through and finish it off and then do it the way it had to do.
Well, you mean finish off the Vietnamese people, right? Finish them off.
The Viet Cong, yes.
Yeah.
Finish it off. Just they stopped the bombing. They only had strategic bombing a little bit here and there. Their generals were saying, "We'll never win this war." And then it got back to people in America. And
so, Gary, whatever it takes, right? That's what Donald Trump is saying, whatever it takes.
I'm saying that they promised that it will never end, and unless they finish it and completely eliminate Hamas, it'll never be over.
Well,
thousands of years.
Here's the problem with finishing Hamas. Hamas is embedded in the population. Hamas, you know, it is a government organization, but it also is a guerrilla organization. England would spend a long time with the troubles of Ireland and ultimately never prevailed militarily, but it worked out a settlement. Guerrillas are very, very hard to eliminate from a general population without eliminating the general population. And I think that's what we found out in Vietnam. I mean, do you realize how many Vietnamese were killed during the Vietnamese War? I mean, it was over 2 million Vietnamese. And many, many, many more damage beyond belief physically and their offspring in terrible condition because of the Agent Orange and the other things we did there. You know, I'm not sure. I don't think any military historian has looked back and said there was actually a way for the United States to win Vietnam. And I'm not sure what victory in Vietnam would have meant. Would it have meant Commander Key? General Key of Vietnam would have become the president of Vietnam because he was a horribly corrupt person. I think that everyone historically who has looked at Vietnam has said, wow, that's a war that shouldn't have been a war.
A shameful war. 844-967-2789 is the number. Your thoughts, 844-967-2789 is Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education.
Nation Talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Who is this saying?
It's R.E.M.
No, Sandy, this is Living Color.
Oh, Living Color. That's right. That's right. Yeah, well, I picked this one because I think the cult of the personality is sort of where we're heading as a result of the circumstance we described. People wanting to solve for a government that's not doing what they want. We're slipping into the cult of the personality.
It's got a great beat. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. Fridays with Sandy Williams. President Biden warns Netanyahu the situation in Gaza is unacceptable. Your thoughts? Let's go to the phone lines. And Mark from Milwaukee, good morning to you, sir. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I just want to say that, President Biden has always portrayed himself as a compassionate, sympathetic person, and I don't get it at all. I would debate that with anybody to stand week after week, 30,000 plus people dead. You've got supposedly 4,000 amputees, children amputees. There's a targeting of journalists. There's targeting of hospital workers. If anybody listening to this is getting their news on this from the New York Times or NPR, they're living in a different world. Do some digging on this. There's all types of other news sources, such as the Democracy Now! Podcast. They also have a television show where they're interviewing people on the ground there. It's horrible. It's horrific. I could never vote. I voted uninstructed in the primary and in the general election. I will not vote for Joe Biden. I witnessed Vietnam. I'm 69 years old. I almost had to go. Not for me, Joe Biden.
So let me ask you, even though President Biden now is finally addressing what many people have said, this is the, breaker for you, that President Biden, based on what has happened here, you can't see supporting him. So let me say this to you, former President Trump's growing criticism of Israel's war against Hamas. This is in today's The Hill, in Gaza signals a glaring break from the GOP talking points back in Israel. Donald Trump has said that Benjamin Netanyahu should finish the job. So if you are saying that, President Biden, who's had a change of heart on this, you can't support him, but the only other alternative is Donald Trump, and he's saying, hey, whoa, wait a minute, finish the job. So your thoughts, you can only go either way or not vote at all. What do you say?
Well, to that I say, the last two elections, this is the third one in the row, where I've been told this is the most critical one ever. This is an existential threat. Everything's on the line. Well, I can be worried by that, or I can vote my conscience. I'm tired of holding my nose. I have to vote my conscience. And if it means someone that I don't like wins, I can't worry about that. I have to be me.
Thank you very much for the call, Sandy. He represents segment.
Right, absolutely. He's the person and represents the people that Joe Biden is worried about. We have two candidates running for office, and there are many people out there who think that they have to hold their nose to vote for either one of them. The question is, what will all that nose holding do to the outcome of the election on both sides? And we have a third party candidate as well running who's got a quixotic set of policies, and it's uncertain who he will draw votes from when he gets the votes that he's going to get. I don't know. I mean, I have hoped, I'm glad that Joe Biden is doing now what he's doing with respect to the Israeli policy. I have trouble blaming him for the policies in Israel. You know, we have long provided Israel with support, both annual financial support as well as weapons.
Both Democrats and Republicans.
Democrats and Republicans. And this came out of the blue, right? The Hamas attack of October 7th came out of the blue, and the reaction was immediate. I don't think there was a way for the United States to intervene into the circumstance to keep the reaction from happening. And I don't know the extent to which we have enabled that reaction over the time period. Maybe there has been some, but I'm confident that we hold a lot of leverage with Israel in the long run. But I'm not sure we held a lot of leverage with Israel in the short run, particularly with Benjamin Netanyahu.
So, Sandy, it's Benjamin Netanyahu is not new on the scene. Benjamin Netanyahu has come and gone three or four different times as in the leadership role in Israel. And so everybody knows who and what he is and what he represents.
Well, and he is one who has attempted to politicize in the United States support of Israel, you know, and he's played a role. He's clearly much closer to Donald Trump than he is to Joe Biden. And his politics probably reflect that as well. I just think that Israel and under Benjamin Netanyahu is putting itself in a difficult position. I don't think it wants to be the subject of partisan politics in the United States, nor do I think it wants to be viewed as a pariah by a significant number of countries in the world way beyond the Mid East. Okay. I mean, you know, maybe they've been content with being viewed as being the other guys by other Mideastern countries, Muslim countries, but I don't think they want to be viewed as outliers by the rest of the world.
So, Sandy, I don't think people really understand what it took for President Biden to make the statement that he made. It, for him to come to that point, there had to be an awful lot of hand-wringing for him to publicly come out and make that statement. It's never happened before.
Right. I mean, that, like I said, because both parties have tried to have the ultimate bear hug with Israel and to demonstrate it in every way. And I think this is, in many ways, a courageous act on his part to take this step to exert actual direct pressure and to make it public.
So what do you say to those who say, well, he's trying to do this to save his own skin?
Well, you know, I it's hard.
Because there is that thought.
Well, it's hard to question. It's hard to understand motives. Maybe he always wanted to do this and it was difficult. Maybe he's doing this in spite of his better judgment. We don't know. Okay. And I don't want to make that leap of faith to try and get into his head and figure out why. Okay. But my sense is that his Secretary of State, who is Jewish, Blinken, is on board with this, and that this is a policy that has been slowly developing.
Welcome. Okay. 844-967-2789 is the number. Sandy Williams and you, phone lines are open. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Friday on Matt Nair on Air, 10:33, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Then we talk the Milwaukee Film Festival with Matt Miller. Join us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Leaders of Northland College in Ashland will keep trying to stay in business. A 24-day emergency campaign raised about $1.5 million from 900 donors, but that's far short of its $12 million goal. The trustees will meet again in 2 weeks. Tax day is the 15th. The IRS is trying out a free tax filing service in some states. Terry Ollie is a consumer advocate. She says the software connects lower-income filers to the earned income and child tax credits.
Folks who don't file are disproportionately Black, Latino, Indigenous, headed by a single parent. Those are the households that often stand to benefit from thousands of dollars in tax credits.
Wisconsin is not one of the 12 states in the pilot program this year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
An Ashland woman was killed after being hit with a car while crossing the street on Wednesday. According to the Ashland Police Department, 68-year-old Rose Kozaneski was walking across Ellis Avenue near 7th Street when she was hit by a 66-year-old man. She was taken to a nearby hospital but died from the injuries she sustained in the crash. Authorities say the driver never saw Kozaneski as she was walking across the road diagonally from the median. Drugs or alcohol are not believed to be factors and no charges were filed. The Duluth Transit Authority has announced one of its bus stops is being moved next week. According to DTA officials, the bus stop that currently sits near the Dick's Sporting Goods at the Miller Hill Mall will be moved to the JCPenney starting this Sunday. The change is meant to give residents easier access to the Ascensia Health Miller Hill Health Plaza. The Transit Authority will also add some signage to the area to ensure everybody using the bus can find the new stop, and bus schedules should remain generally the same. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved winged thingies.
Winged thingies! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, winged thingies.
The winged thingies.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The New York Post reports Conan O'Brien will return to The Tonight Show for the first time since 2010. Conan took over The Tonight Show in June of 2009, but was replaced when NBC reinstalled Jay Leno back into the host chair. The move did not sit well with O'Brien, who moved to TBS and hosted Conan from 2010 to 2021. O'Brien will join Jimmy Fallon to promote his new travelogue series called Conan O'Brien Must Go. Actor Jeff Daniels says rumors about Dumb and Dumber 3 happening are not true, but the 69-year-old actor did thank Jim Carrey, saying Jim wanted an actual actor in the first Dumb and Dumber and not a comedian who would try to top him. He also said a third installment of Dumb and Dumber doesn't happen unless Carrey is in. Sounds like Jeff Daniels is ready to bring those classically trained acting chops, or cheeks, to the toilet again. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy and a little warmer today. We'll get to 51 for a high this afternoon. The wind northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 28. Tomorrow, sunshine, 54. It'll get windy tomorrow night with rain likely on Sunday, Sunday night into Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
What's wrong?
drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah. Madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates.
Hey, hey, Cal. You gotta have love to set Sandy straight. Williams,
Kanye West.
I was not expecting this from Sandy.
No, man. Sandy Williams. Welcome back. I guess I really don't know Sandy, man.
I have to say, I don't sit around listening to Kanye West very much.
But that's a really nice.
But I like that. Yeah. I like that piece, and it seemed to fit in, you know?
We don't need to associate too closely with the controversial Kanye West, because that is the Black Eyed Peas' Will I Am.
Oh, that's the Black Eyed Peas. Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right.
And actually, the Black Eyed Peas, I have a connection to them. A younger fellow that I know from Milwaukee, Shorewood High School, was part of the Black Eyed Peas.
Really?
And no longer, but yeah.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You know, it's Friday. It means Friday. It's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we are talking about, you know, the decision that's made by the President of the United States to call Benjamin Netanyahu and make some demands. Let's go to Tim from Eclair. Hey, good morning to you, Tim. Your thoughts?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You know, I want to comment on you. I think, I don't know if it was your last call or not, said that he's got to be himself in how he votes. Well, you know, Liz Cheney said about Biden, she said, we can survive Biden and some bad policies, but we can't survive Trump. Now, if he has heard anything about the plans that these people have to do if they get back in power, he's going to wake up some morning and he isn't going to be able to be himself because everything's going to change. That's all I got to say.
Hey, Tim, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, that's the thing. This election is, it's binary. You know, there are actually only two candidates that can win the election. There are maybe an independent candidate that can affect it, but not voting for the candidate that would be the better one to win is like voting for the one who's the worst one to win, regardless of whether that vote is uninstructed or for a third party. So I happen to think that this election is much more important. I think that an election in which Donald Trump is running in going forward is a truly important election.
You know, Sandy, I talked about this the other day, and it was about that I have heard more than a few people say, I'm not going to vote because I don't like either person. And so when you say that, you kind of open the door for the other guy.
Absolutely.
And if I don't, and if Joe Biden has said some things that bother me, and he has, because nobody's perfect, I don't agree with anybody 100%, and nobody should agree with anybody 100%. That's why we're separate human beings on everything, right? So, but I also wonder how you can say, well, Joe Biden has made me angry on this one thing and maybe two things, so I'm not going to vote for him. But then you say, well, I don't care about that other guy either. But when you don't vote for Biden, that's kind of a vote for the other guy.
Well, absolutely.
And how come people don't see that?
Well, I don't know. I think people are emotive, right? It's emotional. And somehow they want to, people are frustrated. You know, people are frustrated with the political system. I know everyone is. I'm just saying that the frustrated people tend to act against irrationally and against their self-interest. Not voting is actually as much against your self-interest probably as voting for Donald Trump if he doesn't represent anything like your self-interest. And there's plenty of people who are MAGA Republicans who are absolutely voting against their self-interest when they vote for someone like Donald Trump and the policies that he would implement. If you're in the middle class, you can't possibly think that Donald Trump is a good idea based on your self-interest.
You know, Sonny, I don't know and then we'll go to the phones after this. I don't know what you think you're going to prove by saying, okay, well, I'm not voting. I mean, you're sending a message, apparently. People think they're sending the message. But what message are they sending? You're not hurting anyone but yourself if you make the decision that, because it will come back to haunt you. Every vote does count, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to the phone lines and Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Good morning. I applaud President Biden for doing what he did. And I know how we have always supported Israel and what they do, but I think they have gone way too far. And there's no way for them to annihilate Hamas. Hamas is embedded in the system. There is probably Hamas even in the United States. We don't know. These terrorist groups are all over. But you cannot continue to batter the innocent. You cannot, we cannot do that and allow that to continue. In this last, if you read the article in the paper this morning, the Israeli commander was, and two of his operatives, the two people in charge of this, two of them were fired, and the other guy was diminished his position. But it's not enough. We have to stop this. We cannot continue to kill the innocent. I do not see this as a pattern. I see this as, and there has to be a two-state system, because the Palestinians have a right, as much right to that land as Israel does. So that's my comment.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, Sandy, this has been going on for a long time, and the problems in Gaza and with Israel and with the Palestinians. And so as I was reading, Sandy, I had forgotten that Hamas once was acceptable representing the Palestinians. Israel accepted them as a negotiating partner.
Right.
They've even invested some money in making sure that Hamas was able to do and kind of keep control over the Palestinians.
Right. I think that they were viewed as the lesser evil, and that there was actual support, money, et cetera. I think it was in, my memory could be faulty, but I think it was in like the 2006 timeframe that they were basically facilitated and enabled. And, you know, it's gone badly. And there's no question that Hamas is a maverick terrorist organization. But the question of how you deal with that is a different question. And I'm not sure that it's sensible to believe that you can decimate a population and not end up creating more members of Hamas in the process. Hamas sprang out of the problems that existed there. And my fear is that it's just it's a fool's errand to think that you can accomplish it militarily.
So you create more Hamas members, the more you keep the policy up that you have.
We had
right?
a caller mentioned the Viet Cong. The Viet Cong were in many respects created by the colonial French and then by the Americans. They were the reason that all these people, these people who were, became very good fighters and very numerous, were created. It was created by the fact that there were these people, these foreign powers in France, in Vietnam.
You know, Sandy, our government continues to get involved in things. Our foreign policy, we don't know anything about. And maybe, you know, that's a good thing. I don't think it is. I think that the American people, Sandy, have a right to know what's being done in our names when it comes to the kinds of clandestine things that we are engaged and involved in militarily, Sandy. That impacts the world, impacts us, and others? We don't know. And so we find out sometimes, unfortunately, when we send others, our children, off to fight in places. We're in Yemen. We're doing some things in Yemen, for heaven's sake, Sandy, that we don't, the American people know nothing about. But we're there.
Well, I mean, I think what, you know, my view in terms of what we might talk about today and as a result of our all coming out of the Cold War was right. I think it's very important that as Americans, we decide what it is in the world that's critically important to us and sort that out and make sure that we do the things in the world that are critically important to us, but that we don't dabble, we don't play with other parts of the world in a manner that destabilizes those parts of the world to their own detriment without being a part of our critical interest. And I think too much of our foreign policy in the past has been the latter sort of foreign policy. And here we have the Western Hemisphere that's fraught with problems, Haiti and other places,
right.
Where we are not immersed in those problems, but we become immersed in the problems elsewhere.
Well, you know, Sandy, Central America is a prime example. We don't know about any of the things that have been going on in Central America that are driving all those immigrants our way. We don't know about our policies and those things. They didn't just up and decide to leave where they are. There's some things going on in their countries that bring danger to them and does not give them a fair and equal playing field because of some of the policies that we, as America, our government supports. And I mean, for heaven's sakes, we control the price of sugar cane, of bananas, of the kinds of things that they produce in those countries, Sandy, that are, you know, at the root of them being able to, it's their economy.
Well, I'm not privy to what it is that's going on or why exactly, but I do think that we would do well to pay far more attention to the Western Hemisphere, which is the area that we declared long ago to be our hegemony under the Monroe Doctrine in 1819. And that we would pay more attention to the welfare of the people here because actually it's what's causing the problem at our southern border, which is such a huge political problem right now. And so, you know, we could pay more attention there. And similarly, I think that, you know, what's happened as the result of our sort of dalliance with Ukraine is that now there's developing this movement, including apparently from Donald Trump, that maybe NATO is expendable. Well, NATO is of vital importance to the United States, and NATO is a different question than Ukraine. You know, the fact that we had a dalliance and talked to Ukraine about becoming a member of NATO might connect the two. But the fact is that NATO has been a very important source of peace. If we looked at the 20th century, we'd realize that wars between the European nations is what tore the world apart in the First World War and the Second World War. And we've avoided all of that since the inception of NATO and the European Union, which both of them have caused a far different atmosphere to exist in European diplomacy.
So I want to delve a little bit deeper into that, Sandy, on the other side. Hang on the phone lines. We'll come right to you. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams.
Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids want to act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself.
Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? One world, one world. We only got one world, one world. That's all we got. One world, one world. And something's wrong with it. Yeah. Something's wrong with it. Yeah. Something's wrong with it.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Busted pencils, fully
student-led education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
We gotta have peace to keep the world alive and war to cease. We gotta have joy.
Sandy, that's Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions.
Yep.
You know, his music, message music, is just unbelievable during those times. They really put out some great songs. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. What is this, 1968, Sandy, 1969?
I don't know the years, probably.
No, I'm not talking about the record. I'm talking about our conversation that we're having. From 1968, we've gone back.
I would say, 69. It's all through the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And it was a developing state.
All right, so let's, you know, we're talking about, you know, the issue in Israel, but we've morphed. And really going back to what Sandy and I were talking about a little earlier about, you know, what happened in those times. And it's kind of led us to where we are right now and the issues that we're dealing with now.
Well, you know, what happened was that at the end of World War II, the Europe got divided. It got divided into the Warsaw Pact nations, which was essentially the Soviet Union's version of NATO. It was a bunch of countries in Eastern Europe who lived under the hegemony, that, and it was a recognized hegemony. The United States essentially drew the lines at Yalta that would cause the Warsaw Pact countries to become under the wing of the Soviet Union, and we formed NATO. And we had our buffer countries, which was Western Europe. We formed NATO for two or three reasons. One of them was to try and make sure that there wasn't another war in Europe that would draw us into a world war conflict, number one. Number two, that we would have a unity of alliance of nations that could deal with Russia and the Warsaw Pact nations if that became a hot war. And three, we did it so that we could essentially dominate that alliance and they would buy all of our weapons.
So you use the verbiage a lot, hegemony. What does hegemony mean?
Sphere of influence. Countries that are essentially yours to be exclusively overseers of. and in the world of empires, there are areas now of hegemony. Instead of empires, the world has been divided into various hegemonic regions. So that during the period of the Soviet Union had a hegemony over the Warsaw Pact nations and over some of the rest of the world. We asserted our hegemony over, initially with the Monroe Doctrine, all of the Western Hemisphere. And then with the collapse of the Soviet Union, we sort of declared our hegemony to be the world at large. Now we've got China to contend with, which obviously has a view that there are areas of the world that ought to be within its hegemony.
So really, we can use the term overseers, you know, in place of hegemony.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hey, this is our area, and so lead hands off.
Hands off.
Let's go to Tom back again. Tom, go ahead.
Good morning. First off, you know, we have to remember, well, there's media malpractice going on in this country right now. they're trying to make this like this is a normal election between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. This is not normal. This is not normal, people out there. This is either you choose between democracy and an authoritarian dictator. And yes, Benjamin Netanyahu is a dictator. Yes, Vladimir Putin is a dictator. And Donald Trump will give them the keys and let them walk right through the door and do whatever it is that he wants. And the thing is, we got one guy that's got 91 indictments against a guy that's just actually a good man. Come on, wake up. And for the guy that said that he's got to vote his own conscience, I'm just telling you, you want everyone in Gaza gone? You want everything completely, a dictator running everything? Go ahead, vote for Donald Trump, because that's what you're getting. This is not a normal election, and shame on our media to make it where we have to do both sidesism when this is not two normal candidates. This is not your normal thing, and our media better start pointing out exactly what Donald Trump is saying he will do if getting to power. Oh, one day dictator, all that kind of stuff.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy.
I think, Tom, when we're talking about NATO, I think what he says brings to light the fact that it's pretty clear, and John Bolton and other of the advisors who were security advisors to Trump in the past have predicted that Trump will likely try to withdraw the United States from NATO, which would essentially collapse that alliance. And I think we should all understand that we do probably need to rethink our foreign policy, but we don't need to become isolationists in the old sense of the word and withdraw from everywhere. And NATO in particular is a particularly vital alliance. I'm not one who would favor having Ukraine in the NATO alliance, but the NATO alliance was a good idea when it was formed, and it remains a good idea.
All right, Mary, quickly.
Good morning. I'll be the first to state that I'm not knowledgeable about the Gaza-Israeli catastrophe, but in any challenge or problem, I tend to look at the root cause. Considering the reaction to President Biden and the threat to his being reelected, was this the original intent by certain parties? I'll listen off the air. Thanks.
Mary. Hey, Sandy, you understand the question?
I don't exactly. She's maybe trying to connect the dots backwards and say, because this is threatening Biden, you know, was that the reason for the Hamas invasion in the first place? And I would have a lot of trouble connecting that dot. So I don't understand.
You know, Sandy, we're at a point where, you know, many Americans really don't know the depth of these things, Sandy, you know, are outside of our spheres of influence for most of us, because we're not focused on these things. We're focused on our own lives. And so when we get into these types of situations and things, we rely on, as Tom said, the media to feed us. Depending on where you're getting your food from, you know, you're a sacrificial lamb.
Well, I mean, that's the media has become a problem in that it doesn't have the wherewithal, apparently, to roll up its sleeves and do a lot of work, number one. Number two, it has to worry about revenue. Number three, so many people are getting their news from their own self-selected processes and sources without them being vetted sources. So we have a dearth of news.
All right, that's it. We have to wrap it up. Thank you very much, Sandy, as always. Thank all of you for a great week. Thank you, Calvin, for the great work. Up next, Jane Madnair, Madnair on the Air, and Greg Bott. Enjoy a great weekend. See you on Monday.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome Kirk Bangstad, Ed Anderson, Amir Kakarovs, and Terry Barr. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A critical moment for U.S.-Israeli relations. The Biden administration dramatically